Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Thought, oh good Lord, she had them long tan legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song.
Hello, once again, welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Mr. Boyd, another week, lots of sports to get to. Let's get right to it.
No doubt about it. There are some great things happening in the world of sports. One of them, of course, being this March Madness. I talked about it last week. The Ides of March are upon us. Bracketologists, get ready.
And you've got, can you believe it? Will somebody win one, not million, billion with a B, $1 billion if you have a 100% perfect bracket?
Man, you know, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of prognosticators that believe that they have the formula. And every year there's somebody that comes real close to becoming perfect. But man, this is a lot of money at stake. And so, you know, with that being said, $1 billion, Sean Wally, God, that's a lot of pressure, man, isn't it? Isn't that a lot of pressure?
Not when it's free. Not when all you have to do is, you know, pick the potential winners. And really, come on, it's a crapshoot. The odds are astronomical, and that's half the reason they're throwing it out there is, number one, to get more people to try and to play and to, you know, use their products and all that and get the advertisers. And heck, you know what? Why not take a shot? It doesn't cost you anything. And maybe the stars align and you'll wake up in 3 weeks a billionaire.
Yeah, you know, every step I liken it to the, building a house of cards or playing Jenga, if you will, man. I mean, every time you pull that little block out, there's a chance that it can all come crumbling down if you make the wrong move. And so, you know, as easy as it's been in yesteryear as far as just going through and you know, picking your teams, you know, the more you think about it, the more it becomes tough. Like the old adage, you study long, you study wrong. And this could definitely be the case with winning $1 billion.
You know, of course, everybody thinks of March Madness. They think of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. But really, if you look at it, everything started a couple weeks ago, the beginning of March. You had the end of the regular season in college basketball, which led into conference tournaments. And some of those plays and games were just amazing and went down to the wire, and there were upsets even then. And so now it just gets to a bigger level.
Yeah, it's just an extension year in and year out. And, of course, these conference championships that you're mentioning, you're talking about teams from majors, mid-majors, you know, some of the smaller schools that are vying their way into playing into this NCAA tournament. And that's what makes this fun, Sean Wally, is that these teams that you would never expect wind up making it in. I mean, who in the world? I mean, you know, there's Albany. That of course, Albany's been there before, but then you're looking at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo that's making it in out here in Northern or Central California. And so it's a lot of fun for these teams to actually get into the tournament, and it's a mystery to see if they're actually going to get out there and do something good and dance for a little bit, like the Cinderella story says.
So what do you think about Las Vegas as a conference tournament destination? Of course, Vegas is glitzy, all the glamour, you know, the bells and whistles that come along with the casinos. Do you think it could be a distraction, though, for the players at all that they're there, they're in Vegas, and they're not concentrating so much on those games?
You know, a team that's been there before, I'd say some of the bigger schools, it's probably not as big of a distraction. But if you're a smaller school, if you're a school that, you know, that hasn't been there before, yeah, it could be a huge distraction if you're not coached the right way. And so, you know, you're mentioning Vegas, you know, you have these teams like in the WCC and the Mountain West, you know, where, you know, a good team comes out of there every so often or every year, but not always the same team, you know, it could be a distraction for them.
Yeah, and, you know, there weren't too many upsets in those three tournaments, the Pac-12, the WCC, and the Mountain West that host their conference tournaments in Vegas. And it does seem like a good draw that you can get people to travel there versus just going to one of the schools and hosting it there. So you would think it would be a good idea. And, you know, we'll see if the attendance numbers were where the conferences thought they should be.
Oh, it's going to be it's an excellent idea. There's no doubt about it, Sean Wally. That is the reason why Vegas is what it is. I mean, you want to be able to see a game, you can do that. If you've ever wanted to, you know, in between games, get out and see a show, you can do that as well. And so Vegas is made to actually turn you upside down and shake every red cent out of your pockets. And so it is. It's the perfect place to go and unwind and see some great basketball.
We'll be talking a lot more basketball tonight with our big-time guest coming up here tonight. And we're going to switch gears just for a couple minutes and get to the crazy world of NFL free agency. Of course, people are changing teams left and right. Players are signing big contracts with various new teams, most of them, some of them staying where they were. And it's just a frenzy if you're in the NFL right now.
Oh, man, well, in my neck of the woods in Northern California, this is our Super Bowl. And what I'm talking about is the Oakland Raiders making decisions left and right. Now, in the beginning, Raider fans were very disgusted on what was going on because it seemed like Reggie McKenzie was slow out the gate as far as making some decisions. Since then, he has done some miraculous things. It has been so fun for the past few days just to kind of see the roller coaster ride, the ups and downs of the Raider Nation. And, you know, as of late, it's been James Jones, former receiver of the Green Bay Packers, who has signed along with Kevin Booth, who is the center, who was actually drafted by the Oakland Raiders a few years ago, went on to play with the New York Jets. I believe won a championship with them, and now he is back with the Oakland Raiders. These are some exciting times, again, to see if you're a team like a Cleveland, an Oakland, or a Jacksonville who are trying to make things right. Now is the time to actually prove your weight, your muster. And I can tell you here in Northern California, there is a lot of fun, a lot of excitement that's going on with these past few decisions in the free agency.
So what do you think is going to happen at the quarterback position there in Oakland? You know, you've got the Matt Schaub rumors and his enormous contract and, of course, his inconsistent play. But you would have to think he would be somewhat of an upgrade over what was there in 2013.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was just talking with somebody today about Matt Schaub. And it's funny how as an athlete that you fall in bad graces so quickly. Now, let's take a look at this, for instance. We're talking about a Matt Schaub that last year, let's face it, had a tough season. There, no doubt about it. They call him the quick six Matt or something like that because he's throwing so many picks and the defensive back was running so fast into the end zone that you couldn't even see him. It was a blur. But he wasn't playing the other 21 positions that are out there on the field. That was a team effort with the way the Houston Texans played and went 2-14. And you can't hang your hat on what Matt Schaub on just what Matt Schaub did. He's been playing in this league for quite some time, for 8 years. And I mean, he built that team up for a reason. I mean, Gary Kubiak being at the head coach at the time, Matt Schaub was leading that team to where he was one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So all of a sudden he has a bad year and this guy is in exile. I think that if Oakland goes after a Matt Schaub, and Raider Nation, I want you to hear me and I want you to hear me good, because I hear so many negative things coming out as far as Matt Schaub is concerned. His full body of work is far greater than the year that he had. For crying out loud, somebody, you're destined to have one bad season. I believe that Matt Schaub had that bad season. If any team picks up Matt Schaub in the free agency, they get a huge bonus and they get somebody that's going to turn their team around.
Now, Schaub definitely has had a roller coaster career, some good highs and some not so good lows and a lot in between. You've got Matt Schaub. You've got a name that I really like in Oakland or Buffalo or the Jets, a Michael Vick. If you were Reggie McKenzie, Sean Boyd, being not only a Raider fan, but a sports broadcaster and public address announcer, who would you want to bring in as your quarterback?
Well, you know, there's been the big talk as far, of course, we just talked about Matt Schaub. You mentioned Michael Vick. And, you know, let's also throw Josh Freeman in there as well, because those seem to be the three quarterbacks that are being talked about as far as free agency, along with Mark Sanchez. Now, I know that that just sounds ridiculous to think about Mark Sanchez, but, you know, the big thing, if I were to pick one of those four, I would have to go with who I just talked to just previous, and that is Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub gives you a more full body of work. Even though Mike Vick brings you a lot of excitement, the deal with Mike Vick is can he play a full season? And if you're a Reggie McKenzie and you're a Dennis Allen and Mark Davis says we need to win now, well, guess what? We can't bank on the fact that there's a quarterback that has a long tenure of getting injured. You need somebody that's going to lead you game in and game out and understand that there's a full 16 weeks. Now, with that being said, I would say the second person, the second quarterback would probably be a Josh Freeman. Why? You know, because Josh Freeman was in Greg Olsen's camp down in Tampa Bay. So he's very familiar with the offense. And, of course, you want familiarity. But at the same time, you want somebody that's solid and headsy. And if I'm going to pick between the two, Josh Freeman and Matt Schaub, I'm picking Matt Schaub.
Let's go out now to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number one tonight, and that is Kanoa Leahy from Honolulu, sports reporter at KHON-TV, the Fox affiliate, as well as play-by-play voice on Oceanic Cable and the ESPN networks. Kanoa, thanks so much for your time tonight.
SNS, happy St. Patrick's Day. How you guys doing?
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Kanoa. I can only imagine right now in Honolulu, it's probably, what, about 80 degrees. The trade winds are kind of blowing in a little bit, but just a beautiful day out there today, wouldn't you say?
I got to be honest, by Hawaii standards, it's a little bit ugly. They've got some overcast clouds. The winds are a little strong. The temperature has dipped all the way down to a brisk 78. I got my sweatshirt on, my parka, my snow cap. It's chilly over here.
Yeah, heaven forbid, 78 degrees in Honolulu. Just beautiful times over there. And,
we're roughing it. We're roughing it, obviously, over here right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, we wanted to talk with you a little bit about what you do. Of course, you have a fantastic career as a play-by-play announcer. You do some high school games out there. But more importantly, you're with the Fox affiliate, KHON-TV, out there in Honolulu. You know, kind of give us an insight on how things began for you.
It's interesting. My introduction to sports broadcasting world was somewhat organic, and quite literally speaking, my dad is a longtime sports announcer, play-by-play announcer here in Hawaii, and was known as the quote-unquote voice of the rainbows for about three decades on television, mainly a little bit of radio, the University of Hawaii Rainbows I'm speaking of course. And before him, my grandfather, who was a Navy veteran, actually served as a chief in the Navy. He was affiliated with the University of Hawaii and trying to house teams when they came over from the mainland to play UH as the University of Hawaii was starting to transition into Division I intercollegiate sports. And so he had a lot to do with their ability to actually compete on the collegiate level. And because of that, trying to get more exposure for the school and the institution, he started doing some play-by-play announcing himself, was more or less self-taught in the industry. And he was the quote-unquote voice of the rainbows back in the 60s and 70s on radio. So it was something I was introduced to at a pretty young age. I never really envisioned myself going into it, but, come around senior year in high school, was given an opportunity to do high school girls basketball on radio. I thought, yeah, we'll give it a try. It sounds kind of interesting. And I immediately fell in love with the business, with the craft, with the industry. And, the rest, I guess, in at least my little world is history. Served as sports director at KHON, the Fox affiliate, for approximately 9 years. Now focusing a little bit more on the play-by-play side, which is my first love, my true passion. And I've gotten the opportunity to call a lot of University of Hawaii basketball, some select University of Hawaii sports, and over the last few years call college basketball for ESPN.
Yeah, you had mentioned your grandfather, Chuck Leahy, and, of course, your dad you have the chance to actually join with your father, with Leahy and Leahy, where you co-host this sports show. You know, man, I have to tell you, this is probably one of the most ingenious ideas that I have ever seen as far as a sports show is concerned. You sit at the kitchen table with your father and you're talking sports. Now, kind of give me an idea on, you know, who came up with this ingenious idea? Because what it feels like is we're all invited into your house and we're sitting there and we're listening to you and your dad talk sports. Brilliant, brilliant idea.
Oh, well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, we've been on the air on the television side for about 7 years now, actually. It started off as a radio show. We were approached by PBS Hawaii to try to create a television version of the show. And, it was just an idea that sort of sprung from one sit-down brainstorming session. And we thought, you know, that here in Hawaii, really across the country, but particularly here in Hawaii, you know, people talk around the kitchen table. And so families tend to do that, whether it's over meals or just in general. And so it seemed to have a good, what we refer to as a local feel. But we've found that over the years we've done the show, there have been a lot of people that have watched it online from various parts of the country that have said, you know, that's something that hits pretty close to home with them as well. And, it's an unscripted show. You know, we bullet point certain topics that we want to talk about, but it's basically just my father and I talking story, as they say, talking sports. And it's just something that comes pretty organically. And we've had a lot of fun with it. It's funny because it's a father and son sports show. At least that's where it starts, is sports. We branch into all kinds of topics of discussion. But it's a father and son sports show that takes place in an old-style kitchen. And I don't know if you've seen Dan Levitard is highly questionable on ESPN2, but
right,
it's a show
right.
with Dan Levitard and his father in an old-style kitchen. We've been on for 7 years. He's been on probably about 4 years. And we're convinced that he completely ripped off our ideas.
Well, yeah, you might have something
but
there.
But no, all the love to Dan Levitard. That they do a great show. We like to joke about that.
Kanoa, is there more? Do you feel any pressure at all, first of all, doing any of this play-by-play or sports reporting? And if you do, is there more pressure doing the ESPN, doing the high school, doing the sports anchoring, or maybe the show with your father?
I think there's pressure in every realm. You always want to perform at your highest level. I mean, you guys know this with whatever, you guys are involved with, whether it's the show or some of the other projects that you guys do. You always want to provide the best product for whoever might be watching or listening. So I think there's pressure all the time. What I found I really enjoy with regard to ESPN is just the total team-wide effort from production crew to announcers to people who schedule the game, schedule the broadcast. I mean, it is just an absolutely coercive effort under the umbrella of sports, or specifically college basketball. And, you know, when you work in local television and you work for, say, as a sports director or a sports reporter for a local television news station, you find that you have the select few people within the building that are, into sports, that are knowledgeable of the sports industry and the sports side of the newscast. But oftentimes you kind of feel like the redheaded stepchild, and you find yourself trying to convince some of the others around you the importance of what it is you're trying to talk about that day. Whereas when you work for an entity like ESPN, everybody that is on board, everyone's on that's on that production team, they're all sports nuts. They're all college basketball nuts. And so they know the inner workings of not only that sport, but of the broadcast industry itself. They do it repetitively. So I think there's something that's really enjoyable about that, being part of this movement, if you will. That's something I've really enjoyed. And I find that despite the fact that you're doing a broadcast on national television, which would add more pressure, it kind of alleviates some of that pressure because there's such a strong and palpable support system. It's really a great experience, and I've loved every minute of it.
Kanoa, if you could, give our listeners an idea of what it was like when going through the process of becoming a talent member, a talent position holder, play-by-play voice for the ESPN networks. How did that all come about, and what was that process like for you?
you know, it was really by chance. They were involved with talking about ESPN regional television, involved with the University of Hawaii, and basically teamed up with the University of Hawaii to create the Hawaiian Airlines Diamond Head Classic, which is now an annual tournament that takes place around Christmas. And they were looking for, when they first brought the tournament to the islands, they were looking for an announcer to team up with one of the other play-by-play guys that they would fly in. So I think they were thinking, okay, we'll just find a local guy to kind of help with some of the day games, or at least just to take some of the load off of the main quote-unquote play-by-play guy that they would bring out. So I remember the first year they brought John Shambi out. They contacted me, I guess, word of mouth when they were looking for someone that could possibly do some of the games. Someone mentioned my name, so they contacted me. I sent in some tapes and DVDs of some of the work I've done. And so they decided, yeah, okay, we'll put you on. And I did three games the first year. That grew to six games the next year. I started doing the tip-off marathon that takes place in Hawaii. Usually the University of Hawaii is part of that because of the time difference and all of that to fill the 24 hours of college basketball coverage on ESPN. That grew into them flying me up to the West Coast to do select games. And that's sort of where it's gone. And I've been real fortunate to have had, you know, a fairly decent schedule. Not only in the islands with regard to ESPN games and broadcasts that take place here, but on the West Coast as well. I went up to Missoula, Montana for the Big Sky Conference Championship last year. Was in the pit for the first San Diego State-New Mexico meeting this year. 15,000 strong, you know, very loud crowd, great atmosphere, working with Fran Fraschilla. It's just been a real fun experience, and, you know, I'm really thankful and I feel very privileged to have been a part of it.
Kanoa Lei, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Kanoa, you know, just a beautiful paradise out there in Honolulu. You had mentioned covering college basketball, which is, to be honest with you, quite huge on, you know, in Maui, of course, with college basketball in November with the Maui Invitational. Now, I happen to know about this personally. My son plays basketball for Chaminade University. And so kind of give the listeners an idea on what it's like to prep if you've had the chance to work the Maui Invitational.
That thing is amazing. I mean, it is just an incredible event. It's this small gym, and I'm not saying in an arena. It's a gym in Lahaina, the Lahaina Civic Center. And, you know, they've done a few improvements to it, like adding air conditioning, and that was a really big deal. But they haven't done anything in terms of expanding it. It's still, you know, seats 1,200 maximum there in about, and it is just a small venue, very intimate venue to play what turns out to be year after year in the Maui Invitational, these tremendously huge and competitive brand-name college basketball games. But that's kind of what makes it beautiful and romantic all at the same time. Because, I mean, these are games that should be taking place in these huge venues. There should be 15 to 20,000 people that would want to take in some of these contests. And yet here it is in this very small Lahaina Civic Center. You know, it's a bread box. And yet these great college basketball games get played out. And it's really amazing, too, when they end one game. You know, there's four games on the docket each day. When they end one game, they empty the gym. And they bring in a whole new crowd because all the tickets for each game are individual. So they empty the gym, they bring in a new crowd, and they do it all within about 15 minutes. And they get them all situated, get everyone in their appropriate seats. And you know, ESPN is broadcasting those games, and they tip off the next game, and the process continues. But you know, it's just a really tremendous event. And I think when you're talking about from the standpoint and perspective of Chaminade, I mean, how great is that from a recruiting standpoint to be able to tell as a Division II program some of your potential recruits, hey, by the way, we're going to be playing the Syracuses and Arkansas of the world on an annual basis if you come to play for our program, and there's no other Division II school that can say the same.
Yeah, and, you know, it definitely pays off. Of course, Chaminade played in the NC2A Division II tourney. Of course, they were upended this past week to Cal State University, San Bernardino, number one in the West, in the Western region. And so, but it does, like as you're saying, it does pay off, you know, for a Division II school to actually play these D1 schools. I look forward to going to Maui here next year and next November and get a chance to partake in what you're saying as far as the, you know, the ins and outs and having a ticket for each individual game. And so, of course, and again, of course, it's Maui.
Yeah, well, and you know, just so we're clear, Maui is the island I live on. So okay. If you do come out, you better look me up. I'll show you a good time. There's no doubt about that.
You better believe it. You can count me in for that. And so, man, I look forward to you showing me around there. And so, which brings me to this. I mean, obviously, Hawaii has a lot of different sports, and of course, you cover a lot of the main sports. We've had Kenny Mayne on our show, and you know, one of the shows that he had is you know, an obscurity as far as finding different sports to talk about and bring those out to the world. Give us an idea on what types of different sports there are that go on in Hawaii.
Well, you know, I think that there are sports that people have heard of, but it's just the popularity of these sports in Hawaii is what is unique. Women's volleyball, for instance. The University of Hawaii women's volleyball team outdraws every program in the country. They, in the 10,000-seat capacity Stan Sheriff Center on the campus of the University of Hawaii, they, on fairly frequent occasions, sell that place out. It's amazing the support there is for women's collegiate volleyball. Another sport you find yourself covering, you know, as a sports anchor here in the islands that you probably don't see too often anywhere else is surfing. Surfing is this huge, very popular sport, you know, that everyone's kind of heard of, whatever, but it's so much more casually referenced everywhere else in the country. In Hawaii, it is a real, true, living thing that people have a strong interest in. And so as a sports anchor, I mean, you find yourself, you know, having to pursue a lot of surfing stories. There are obviously a lot of really prominent surfers that come from the island, so you have to follow their progress, their success. There are some huge events that take place in accordance with the ASP World Tour in Hawaii. So we're on top of that. And, you know, those kinds of things are interesting because that's pretty unique. You don't see that kind of dedicated coverage for those particular sports too many other places.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned a great point as far as that's concerned. And, you know, I loved it when I was out there at Waikiki and getting the chance to see the waves coming in. A lot of people body surfing. Of course, out here in Northern California, there's kind of a tie between Hawaii and Northern California on the San Francisco coast, which they have the big Maverick tournament. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Of course, I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Big 30-foot, 40-foot waves that's supposed to come through. And, I mean, what an amazing event that happens out here. And I can imagine, you know, it happens more often in a tropical area such as Hawaii.
Yeah, there's one event specifically. It's the In Memory of Eddie Aikau, Quicksilver In Memory of Eddie Aikau event, which is named after a former prominent big wave rider here in Hawaii and a former lifeguard, Eddie Aikau, who lost his life in service a bunch of years back. And so they dedicated this event to him, which doesn't run every year. It only runs during a certain time of year, usually the winter time here in Hawaii, when the waves pick up on the north shore of Oahu. And it only runs specifically at this beach called Waimea, which has a tremendously large surf break during that time of year. And it only runs if the wave faces are 40 feet or bigger. And you know, they make sure that the conditions are prime. They don't want sloshy conditions. They don't want conditions that are too risky for the surfers themselves. But as soon as they see on the forecast that there's going to be this huge swell coming in, they make the calls to all the big wave surfers. Everyone descends upon the north shore of Oahu, whether they're from the mainland or neighbor islands here or other parts of Oahu. They all descend on the north shore at Waimea. And if the contest is on, which, you know, it probably runs on average maybe once every 3 to 4 years. It's almost Olympian-like. Then they go for it and they rush it. And it's a tremendous, tremendous sight to see these monstrous waves and these courageous surfers that decide to just attack them and drop into them. It's very unique from that standpoint and something like I've never seen before.
All right, Kanoa, so I have to ask, growing up in Hawaii and covering surfing, do you surf yourself?
I do. I'm terrible. I mean, if you blink, I'll probably have fallen off the board by the time you see me catch a wave. I'm more into one of the Sean's mentioned body surfing. I'm more into body surfing, which is, you know, where there is no board. It's basically just you and the wave, and you catch the wave and you pull into the barrel and that kind of stuff. And that's something that I've grown up being more involved with. But yeah, as far as getting up on the board, novice would be probably too high of a compliment for me.
Well, Kanoa, you've been a fabulous guest, and we could talk to you for a long time. And you're going down in the record books, the second guest we've had on live from Hawaii, first being Chaminade men's basketball coach Eric Beauverde. And with all that you do, what are your biggest sports memories in all the jobs that you have?
Ooh, you know, that's tough. I mean, there's so many things on different levels that appeal to me when I look back, whether it's, you know, covering a numerous amount of Pro Bowls and talking with some of the top football players in the industry, or whether it's when the University of Hawaii football team went to the Sugar Bowl back in 2008 and covering that game, or, you know, whether it was, say, like I mentioned, calling a game in the pit in front of 15,000 people between San Diego State and New Mexico and just being in that atmosphere. You know, the industry we work in, guys, sports broadcasting, it's a hell of a gig. And I think we can feel very fortunate to be able to basically talk about sports and get paid to do it and follow sports and try to keep our thumb on the pulse of this entity and be compensated for doing so. There are a lot of great moments that I will call back on. But I think if I were to pick one, I would say the opportunity to the aforementioned show with my dad, to work the show with my dad and sit across that little kitchen table in that little studio set that we have and, you know, just have quality time with him in a broadcast, professional broadcast type of atmosphere and environment. Not too many guys have that, I think. And I know how lucky I am to be able to live that out.
Kanoa, thanks for being on the show, on the double with the Double S Express. Man, I am definitely going to take you up on that offer in Maui when we were over there in November. Love to see some of the sights there. And, of course, if we ever get the chance to meet in Honolulu, you know, of course, seeing the sights there. Spent a lot of time off of Wailai and Kalaniani Oli, if I did say that right.
Hey, very good.
Hey, you know, I feel like I'm a native. But, you know, there are some fun times over there on Waikiki. And so, you know, again, it's a pleasure having you on the show. And you're welcome to be on the double with the Double S Express anytime, my friend.
Well, I had a great time. Thanks a lot, you guys. And, yeah, if you come out here, make sure you look me up. And there are people that were born and raised here that have lived here for decades that do not pronounce Kalaniana Ole and Wailai as well as you. So congratulations on that. You're a natural, buddy.
Thank you. Hey, real quick, Kanoa, how can our listeners get a chance to see the Lehi and Lehi show?
They can go to pbshawaii.org, and they'll have shows posted on a weekly basis. Our show runs Wednesday night. Usually by Thursday it'll be online, so they can do that. And we would appreciate anybody that does. I mean, we have a fun time. You know, we chatted up and we enjoy each other. Maybe, you know, every once in a while, somebody watching will enjoy what we're talking about too.
Kanoa Lehi on the double with the Double S Express, play-by-play, broadcaster extraordinaire. Man, it's been a pleasure.
Hey, pleasure's all mine. Let me know anytime you want to chat. I'll talk to you guys later. And again, happy St. Paddy's Day.
All right. Same to you.
Kanoa Lehi, thanks so much for your time. What great insight on the islands and sports broadcasting in the family. Man, good insight from Kanoa Lehi there from Hawaii. And you want to stick around, big-time guest number two coming up, Gus Armstead, right after this. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger.
Andro 400 is the natural, safe, and effective way to lose weight, gain energy, increase testosterone, and feel young again. Too good to be true? Then listen to what Bob and Jim have to say.
And in 30 days, I lost approximately 10 pounds. After another 30 days, I lost another 8 pounds, so a total of 18 pounds lost in 60 days. My libido has been increased 100-fold, and I feel like a teenager again.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about a year now. I've lost a little over 30 pounds. I have more energy. Biggest thing is just feeling better about myself, a lot more confident.
Guys, it's time to discover what Andro 400 can do for you. Call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Or go to andro400.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Fast and Furious here. Let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Gus Armstead to the show. Gus, thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Hey, Gus, it's a pleasure having you on the show. And, of course, there is an added feel for me being in Northern California, actually in Sacramento. Very excited to get some of your insight as far as some of the players that you have developed, but more importantly, you've trained a lot of individuals over the year. And of course, you know, one being your son, Eric Armstead, who signed a scholarship to the University of Oregon. And so you have an awesome background. And so kind of give us a little bit of the background on how it started, how you came across and being a trainer.
Well, I played at Sac State. And after I got done playing, I did some graduate assistant work there for a year or two. And that just kind of led to some connections with some guys that were with the Kings when the Kings first came to town. So Kenny Smith and LaSalle and Harold Presley, a lot of those guys I was playing ball with, Ed Pinckney. So I started opening up the gym for a lot of those guys. And then it just kind of grew into a business where I was, you know, working with those NBA guys and then working with guys in the summer. So it just kind of, God just kind of worked out that way.
And there definitely is a passion in what you do. And of course you had mentioned some of the people that you worked with and you know, of course Bobby Jackson as well, along with Kevin Ollie, you know, those are some huge names. Of course, Kevin Ollie being the head coach at UConn right now. Do you keep in contact with these guys from time to time?
Oh, yeah. I see, you know, talked to Kevin not too long ago, talked to Bobby, you know, all the time. You know, I've been blessed, man. Ryan Anderson is a kid that I had since he was a sophomore in high school. Festus Azili with the Warriors. I think I started working with Fest when he was 15 or 16. So, yeah, the relationships that I've had with all these guys, we pretty much stay connected. You know, I was hanging with Mitch at the Pac-12 tournament, and Mitch Richards was one of the first guys that I worked out, probably the first All-Star. And, you know, it's cool to continue those connections and continue the relationships, you know, watching their kids grow. So it's a blessing, man. It's really a dream job.
Yeah, and of course you mentioned Bobby Jackson. He was a guest last week for us on the Double with the Double S Express. And, you know, a lot of the times when people go into training, there's, you know, there's this added incentive, but you kind of done it you've kind of flipped it a little bit. And what I mean by that is you started helping out and training people before your son actually became successful. And there's a reason why I say that, is because most of the time people will say, oh, well, hey, well, the reason why he went into training, well, you know, is to get his son on this platform. But that's not the case with you. Your heart has been there from day one. And, you know, it's so great to have somebody in the area in Northern California that's actually doing that and developing young men and young women to get to the next level.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I first was on the staff at Sac State, I saw that I had a passion. You know, Alex Williams was an All-American kid we had, you know, who's in the Hall of Fame at Sac State, led the nation in three-point shooting. Chris Farr was a point guard there. I just was connected with those guys, and I like to help them after practice. So I think it kind of just grew. It grew without me really know what I was doing. So, you know, when I started working with these pros, it was just kind of, it was really a natural fit to just be able to assist guys, help guys tweak their games. And then I was really doing it primarily with just pro guys, and then high school people started asking me to do it. So I could be pretty selective with the type of kid that I work with in high school. So that led to, you know, again, working with most of the kids that were all city in Sacramento were pretty much kids that came through my training program. So it's really been cool.
Now, one of the kids that I believe that you helped out as well, who's at San Diego State playing basketball right now, Malik Thames. I mean, this young man is doing some awesome things out of Pleasant Grove High School. Played a year at Washington State and now at San Diego State University. Kind of give us an insight on this kid. I mean, you talk about, you know, just one of these dominating point guards. I believe that he's one of the kids that's going to be going to the next level in the NBA.
Yeah, actually, Malik is the little brother. Xavier is the kid at San Diego State.
Okay, gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha.
Malik's younger brother is having a great year at Central Arizona Junior College, and he's going to be a big-time D1 player too. But Xavier is, I was met with his dad last week talking to his dad. I mean, ever since he was, you know, seventh grade, eighth grade, he had an uncanny pull-up jumper that's translated to be the focal point of his game at San Diego State. You know, I watched him play his whole career. He played with my older son, Armand, that plays with the Patriots. They played at Pleasant Grove together. So, yeah, Xavier is a great, great talent, big-time skill set, good size, shoots the ball, total sacrificial player, shoots it, but he moves it, and he's a great defender, deflections, you know, getting his hands in the outlet passes and that type of thing. So, yeah, I think that Xavier is going to have a great career, and he's definitely on the, you know, big time. He's on the radar with a lot of the NBA people that I've talked to.
Gus Armstead joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, Gus, you've done a lot of work in coaching, and you've been the executive director of various summer pro leagues in the Sacramento area. And in developing these basketball players and young players trying to reach that next level, are there a few keys that these players have to have or that you're trying to instill in them to get them to that higher level?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, the biggest challenge that I find is the players have to understand that it's a process. And you can't get caught up on, you know, where another guy goes or if another guy, you know, has an opportunity before you may get an opportunity. You just have to kind of control what I tell my guys is you control what you can control, and, you know, God takes care of the rest. So all you can do, like, you know, I had a guy, James Nunnally, was called up to the Sixers on yesterday, and he played tonight. But, like, when he's in the D-League, it's like you can't control the decision that these people are going to make. So you just have to take care of your business on the court, you know, your attitude, your overall game, make sure you continue to develop and grow as a player while you're in the D-League, and then it'll take care of itself. And I've had, you know, throughout my career, I mean, I've probably had 30 guys, you know, come through the D-League and end up making it to the NBA. So that's the main thing is the perspective that the guys have as they're trying to achieve that goal of making it to the NBA, or, you know, a lot of my guys make the decision to just go overseas and have great careers there and make, you know, really good money. But, you know, my main thing would just be control what you can control.
And what does that do for you personally to know that the work that you've put in, the time that you've put in with these
30 or so players that have gone on overseas or possibly to the NBA, that what you're doing is right and the way that you're walking is the right way to go?
Well, I mean, over the years, there's been so many guys, I mean, hundreds of guys, either NBA or overseas, you know, hundreds of women, you know, a lot of women that I've dealt with too, but it really is a blessing to be just maybe a catalyst in encouraging someone to find the right direction, to find the right path. A lot of people come into the process and they've never experienced, you know, what they're going to go through. And it's just a blessing to be able to just help them, because I think God's given me that gift where I can see, I can assess the kid, I can see the potential, and I can give that kid a plan to try to reach those goals. So, you know, when Ryan gets drafted by New Jersey, and, you know, all of the stuff that I've been through with him, you know, driving the Cal, working him out, getting him ready for the draft, working with him when he was at Oak Ridge, I mean, it just pretty much brings me to tears to see that kind of stuff, to see a kid that has a dream and then that dream is fulfilled. And it's really just because of the hard work that the kid put in. And, you know, a kid like Ryan, that's a great kid. A kid like DeMarcus Nelson is having a great career overseas. You know, any of these kids that I've been involved with is really, you know, with my own sons, with Eric having a plan and telling me what he wanted to do. Dad, I want to do both sports. Dad, I want to be the top player. And then, you know, when he's seventh grade, you know, us putting together a plan, you know, same with Armand, I want to go to the NFL. I want to play at SC. So it's really gratifying to be able to kind of just help in that area and see kids reach their goals.
Gus Armstead, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And Gus, you mentioned some things that are hitting home with me. Of course, I have two sons myself right now that are at the next level. One played football for the University of Oregon, and one right now at Chaminade University in Honolulu. And of course, my third son at Sheldon High School as we speak. You know, kind of give the listeners a look into what it's like to actually train a lot of individuals outside, but actually having your sons, your children, buy into the system, because that's not easy. That's not an easy task at all.
Well, I think the reason that I was fortunate is because my sons saw the relationships that I've had with, you know, Brian Grant, Mitch Richmond, Dale Demps. I mean, all of these guys, Mike Wilkes, who's an executive with the Oklahoma City Thunder, played 10 years in the NBA, and he actually lived in our home with us. So my boys, they had a really good, godly example of a guy that just worked hard and made a career for himself, and he's continuing to make a career for himself being one of the top executives in the NBA. So that was really cool for me, because it helped me when it came time for them, because I think that they knew that Dad had the experience to help them get, you know, to that next level. And I started with them with primarily basketball, but them being so big, it was a natural transition for them to go over, you know, to football, you know, because both of them were so big. So I think that you know, a guy like Mike being in their life, having that example, and then always being with me when I'm going to the gym, and, you know, JaVale McGee's in the gym, and Festus, and all these different guys are in the gym, all the different guys that I'd been involved with as far as training them. I think that really helped the boys' perspective, and that helped them kind of shape their dreams and their goals for them to go to the next level. And they're gonna really do well and achieve a lot of their goals because of what they've been able to see and experience.
I can tell that a lot of your influence, not just on your sons, but everybody that you work with, comes from a strong spiritual background. And if anybody knows Gus, and if anybody knows you, they understand that is your foundation.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's where it starts for me, man. I think there's things that we learn through the sport. You know, we can learn about faith, and we can learn about integrity. We can learn about compassion. All these things can be learned through showing kids how to work. And I've been able to use basketball as a vehicle to be able to send some of these messages that are important to me, because that's what's first in my life, and I've been able to help people understand that through by the way I've been able to live my life and have God first. So I definitely think that is what I've tried to model, and it's really cool when you see that and you see guys, you know, grasp some of these things and do the right thing and you know, try to live a life of integrity. And I believe God blesses them when they do that. If we keep him first, he's gonna bless us with a lot of things, and that's kind of what I try to instill in.
No doubt about it. And you know, one of the platforms that you use, you mentioning basketball, you have a strong, prominent business and a clinic, the To the Hoops Basketball Services. Kind of give the listeners an idea on when those clinics are and what they're all about.
Well, basically, I train elite players. So, if you know, my market, unlike a lot of, there's a lot of trainers. And when I first started, there really wasn't that many people doing basketball-specific training. A lot of the players that I've trained have come up, and now they're training people in, you know, not only in Sacramento. I have a lot of people all over the country and all over the world, for that matter, that are doing it. So, basically, my market is elite players that have those aspirations of going to college. So we take, you know, the elite high school, and we try to work with them when they get to the college level. And then my college kids, we if they're at that level to where they can go to the next level, be it, you know, NBA, D-League, Europe, you know, Australia, where all of these different places all over the world, then we continue to take them up the ladder. So that's pretty much the core of my program. It's an elite program. There's, you know, we get in the gym, there's 30 guys in there at a time. And, you know, it's basically 20 pros and 10 high-level kids that are trying to get to college or get to the pros. So the atmosphere and the environment that we have is really, really healthy for the players at the lower end, because they can learn how to work hard. They can watch a guy like Bobby Jackson, how he goes hard. I mean, Bobby was with me, he went like it was a game every day. And Matt Barnes and a lot of the younger guys that I had, they were able to see that. And then Matt, you know, when Matt got to that level, he was able to show Eric and show Ryan, you know, show Festus. He's able to show those guys how to work. So the environment of it, I think, is what makes it really conducive for players to get better.
Gus, you've mentioned that your walk with God has helped through your life in this process. How much do you think faith plays into players trying to reach that next level when they get down, when they miss that shot, when they don't make the cut, and they have that faith to continue striving to make it to the next level?
I think that you know, faith is an essential part of good work. And I think that the good work that you put in, the Bible says we reap what we sow. So the seeds that we plant on a day-to-day basis, that stuff is going to carry over. So I think that's a main essential in being a good player. We may not see it. We may not see something, but we see it in our, you know, we see it in the future, and we're putting in the hard work so we can see that thing happen later. And I've seen it happen so many times that the stuff that we do between those lines is going to carry over when the guys are in the NBA. And that's really one thing that really has been gratifying for me. You know, you pick up a guy from the airport, he comes into the program, you know, I have to ride right by Arco. I say, hey, man, one day, you know, you're going to be there. And I just want you to remember, you know, that we drove by this place and we're going to go put this work in, and one day you're going to be playing there. And that's happened to me over and over and over and over throughout my career, where it's been an unknown guy. You know, it's been a Mike Wilkes, it's been a James Nunnally. It's been a guy that didn't necessarily get a lot of chances from a lot of people. But then to go to a game and watch him check into that game is really, really, really gratifying. So I think that our faith is a huge part of that. The faith and you got to put the, you know, faith and the work. You put in the work, and then I believe that, you know, the sky's the limit for these players.
Gus, and all that you've been through in your life, your playing days, your coaching days, your mentoring, what has been the highest of the highs for you?
I think a lot of the guys that I work with, being in L.A. in the playoffs, 2001, 2002, and, Troy Hudson is a kid that, had 25 one night, 26 the next night, and there was a kid that someone even told me, someone in the Missouri Valley Conference, Gus, you shouldn't even deal with that kid. He's not going to be good enough. Troy comes out here, we work out, we do what we do. Troy ends up having a great career, making a lot of money. Those type of things are really, really gratifying. The successes of the guys is what makes it worth it. Matt Barnes, Ryan Anderson, NBA Most Improved Player. When Mitch was to the All-Star team, Bobby Jackson, the Sixth Man of the Year. All those things have been a blessing. But the things that tug at my heart the most are, my son Armand going to SC, getting on the field as a freshman after all the hard work, going through some health challenges, going to Canada, winning a Grey Cup, and then signing a 3-year deal with the Patriots. And then also with Eric, having those goals and being so ambitious about, wanting to be the best player in the country. When I go to Oregon, I want to be on the field as a freshman. And, being a first-round draft pick, continuing to have those goals, I think those things are probably the players. And then also just at another level with my own boys, it just takes it to a whole other level.
Gus Armstead, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And, of course, Gus, we had a chance to talk with you a little bit about your faith. And, of course, another huge element, it sounds like, is family as well. And so what's on the horizon for you as far as, the continued training? Is that something that you're going to continue to do for a while? Is it something that might be handed down to, from generation to generation? What's on the horizon?
Yeah, I think I'm going to continue, man. I have lot of people that, want to utilize my services. I'm getting ready to, ramp up and get some, hopefully about 6 to 10 guys, get them ready for the NBA draft. And then, just a lot of traveling, man. I'm doing a lot of consulting, traveling, scouting players, assessing players, and helping these guys have this plan, to go make a lot of money. It's a little better for me now. I can be a little bit more mobile because my, all four of my kids are pretty much done with college, except my baby boy. But my older kids are pretty much doing their own thing, so I'm a little bit more mobile, can get around and do a lot more things. So I'm looking forward to doing a lot more, going over to Hawaii. We're doing a mini camp with some NBA guys, going over to Fiji and helping some people over there, looking at doing some stuff in Australia, doing some stuff in Africa, and also some stuff in China. So there's a lot of stuff that I got going on, and I'm just grateful to be able to have a chance to just try to help people, because that's really my heart.
So many wonderful things that you're doing, Gus. We definitely appreciate you being on the show. And hey, brother, if you're heading overseas and doing stuff like that, and whenever you're with these athletes, make sure the Double S Express goes with you. Put us in the luggage or the suitcase or something like that, man. We'd love to be a part of it.
I got you. We clicked up for good. I appreciate
all right.
You guys having me on.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, Gus.
Thank you, man. Peace.
Gus Armstead, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. Man, one great show after another, Sean Wally. And this one, show number 44, I believe. Is that correct?
Goodness, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to 1 year of shows every week for 52 weeks.
Man, I'm full today, having two great guests on the show and having Kanoa on and Kanoa Lay getting a chance to talk with him and finding out, some of the things and how he's developed himself as a broadcaster, as a play-by-play, three generations of broadcasting for the Lay family. That is awesome work, Sean.
Man, just fabulous work by Kanoa tonight, as well as Gus Armstead, two great guests, two big-time guests, as usual here on the Double with the Double S Express. Just fabulous insight on the world of sports broadcasting and how a guy from Hawaii has made it to the ranks of ESPN and soon to be beyond. And, Gus Armstead, you know, doing his basketball thing from the ground up. And he's helped guys get to the NBA and play professionally overseas. Just great things going on with our big-time guests.
Yeah, you can definitely tell, Sean, that both our guests have a strong foundation, a strong background, which is the reason why they're successful in what they do. The biggest thing that catches me, Sean, is that, you know, these guys are willing to give. These guys are willing to share. They're not just keeping it to themselves, but they're being that light out there. They're, you know, setting examples for Kanoa. I mean, I am definitely lit up as far as the things that he's doing and look forward to doing some things with him in the future. Same thing with Gus, you know, just a strong foundation, not just developing his boys, but developing prominent leaders in the community. And that's what it should be all about. I mean, we talked about this before, Sean. So many times we turn on the TV or we open up the newspaper or even look on our smartphones and we see so much negative things that, you know, that just make you feel like, wow, is there any hope? Is there a glimmer? Well, yeah, there is. There's guys like Gus. There's guys like Kanoa that put it on the line day in and day out to make sure that they're bringing you the best that they possibly can, whether it's in training, whether it's in broadcasting. It's just a great feeling.
Not only that, but you've got Kanoa out there surfing. So he's reporting on surfing, and he also understands how to do it. So that's really awesome, too, when you can talk about it and tell people how it's done and give the stories of the great surfers, but you also have an idea in your head that this is how, you know, an introductory surfer handles things, or even a visitor on vacation here in Hawaii, you know, let's go try to surf. Of course, starting out, you're not going to be great. But as Gus was talking, with faith and with practice, things get better. And eventually, the skills come out and the hard work pays off.
You know, you're definitely right, Johnny. Gus reminds me a lot of one of our previous guests, Cornell Ward, that was on. And, you know, Cornell has that strong foundation that he, you know, develops, you know, kids and youth to going from boys to men, if you will, down in the Los Angeles area. And, of course, Cornell is best friends with Pete Carroll. And so Gus has that same kindred as far as, you know, just giving. And so, man, I really enjoyed having both guests on today.
Yeah, just fantastic insight all around from both of our big-time guests tonight. And that's what we try to bring you here on the Double with the Double S Express. And if you missed any part of it or you want to hear it again, it'll be up soon at bbsradio.com/DSX, as well as check us out for you iPhone users. We are on iTunes Podcasts. Look up Double S Express, as well as Stitcher Radio, and of course, our own website, double-s-express.com.
Man, any shout outs we want to give out as we're getting ready to wrap up show number 44?
Well, just want to say that, you know, I think Kanoa was the first one to mention that it is St. Patrick's Day. So definitely, hopefully you find that Blarney Stone. Hopefully you find that four-leaf clover. Maybe you're drinking a green beverage tonight. Just be safe, have a good time, and may the luck of the Irish be with you most definitely. And it's been fun tonight.
Yes, man. Another week in the books. And we look forward to doing this again next week, my friend.
And you mentioned next week. Big time guest next week to look forward to. We've got our second contributor from Black Sports Online. Greg Smith will join us. Great insight. Looking forward to that from Greg Smith of Black Sports Online. And Rich Waltz, longtime play-by-play guy all over the country. You know, 10, 15 years ago in Seattle, and then he went to Florida, was doing things for the Marlins, and now he's back in the Pacific Northwest doing things for Pac-12 Network and many other avenues as well. Be another great show next week, Sean.
Man, I'm looking forward to it already. Should be a good one.
For Sean Boyd, Don Newsom back at the station, Alicia crewing the great big time guests here on the show. My name is Sean Wally from the Papa John's Tri-City Studios in Richland, Washington. Check us out next week, 7 p.m. Pacific, on The Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On The Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the